Here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me home on this beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made, and the Bible said we could and we should rejoice and be glad therein. This is a brand new year. Here it is, the third Sunday of the month, and we're moving on. And with your help and your support, we're going to continue to move on. So we got something kind of different for you today, so I hope you enjoy this one. We're going to go way back to Painter's Chapel when I used to pastor up there, and that's been several years back, of course, and I've retired now, and I got a birthday next month, the 17th. Well, some people say, well, how many birthdays does a preacher have? Only one a year. I'm just like you. I have one a year, but the 17th of next month, I'll be 87 years old. But I'd still be pastoring if my eye wasn't bad. Somebody said, well, you can preach from memory. I said, no, it's going bad too. So you pray for me, and I'll be praying for you. So we're going to be doing something different today. We're going to go back to Painter's Chapel and do this service right there, a live service for you. So let's go right now and listen to the live service at Painter's Chapel, and I'll be back to close the service.
She's not here. Randy was talking about his mom and dad getting on each other's nerves. You ought to have been in my house the last couple of weeks. It don't only happen to old folks. I told him I saw someone. I got on the phone. I used to get on the phone. The phone is one of my favorite weapons. And I got on the phone and I called different people and I said, if I sit here much longer and I climb many more of these walls, they're going to have to put me in a straitjacket. I said, I'm getting too fat. I'm going to eat myself into a heart attack. And not only that, I'm just about ready to go stir crazy. So I was real glad to get out. James was a little bad this morning, but we got there. We made the same. And I think you understand now that regardless of what the situation, we are going to try to have the churches open. Even though I can't be here, doesn't mean that we don't have church, because Scott done a wonderful job. And I listened to his sermon on tape, and I've already told him I want him to preach it one Sunday morning, because I think it's worthy of hearing. The whole church needs to hear that. We got to James this morning. It was a little mushy and a little bad, but we had a good service. We've made the same decision there, to keep the doors open. If people can get there, they can get there, and if they can't, then they won't. Well, we're going to do a song for you here on Call Wonderful Peace, and the choir is going to help us on the chorus. I want you to give it a listen to. This has been one of my favorite songs down through the years, and I just wanted to sing it with this choir here this morning called Wonderful Peace. The song.
Yes, Lord. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than song. In celestial light strain it unceasingly falls for my soul like the infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above.
Stand with us and sing it. Peace. couldn't understand it because we're having summer when out on the West Coast they're having snowstorms, mudslides, floods, and it seemed like our whole land is just infiltrated with a lot of problems and situations. CNN News, Fox News, everywhere you turn, there's nothing but war and violence and crime. Iraqi, they're trying to get everything back in order. The Democrats say it's the Republicans' problem, it's the Democratic problem. Seems like there's just chaos everywhere. And everybody has said that. Well, what is the reason for all of these storms? Well, I know the Bible said, well, you can look into the heavens and discern the weather. You can know what is on tomorrow by the way of the seasons, but I think there's something more strange going on today than what we really realize. I got so concerned that I even went to the Bible to try to find the reason. Because the Bible said in Psalms there is a reason for everything under the sun. There's a time, there's a place, there's a season for everything. And I said, well, surely, God, if there's a reason for all of this, then there must be a reason for all these storms. You know, I found out there is. I went to the book of Job. Now, I know a lot of people have preached on Job. I've talked about Job, and I've tried to put myself in his place, and I've tried to consider his situation, and I don't think there was ever a man that faced a situation like Job did. I mean, here's a man who the Bible said he feared God, he eschewed evil. As a matter of fact, he was a righteous man, an upright man. He was a good man. He was a man that feared God. He was a man that loved God. And yet all these things happened to him. All these storms came to his home. He's having sitting in his living room when all of a sudden somebody runs in and says, hey, all of your children are dead. And then to add misery to misery, someone else comes in before even that got dry in the mouth, and someone said, well, the camels are all dead, and the horses are all dead, and the sheep are all dead. Everything around you is dead. Man, what a storm that Job must have been going through. But what was the reason for all the storms? Well, to add misery to misery, he had some friends. It's always good to have a friend when you're in a storm. But these friends were not really good friends. These friends just come to add to the misery. They didn't come to Job and say, well, Job, God will take care of everything. That's what Job said. But they came with nothing but discouragement and downhearted. They said to Job, what have you done? What have you done to cause all this thing to happen to you, Job? They thought Job had done something real bad. Who needs a friend that'll come in a time of our storms and ask us, what have you done? I followed a man into the hospital one day, and a preacher, and he walked into the room, and this lady is laying there. She's very sick, and the first thing that came out of his mouth, he said, what have you done to cause the sickness? How stupid can you get anyhow? You may be a minister, but that's a very stupid statement. What have you done to cause all this sickness? Why did Job have all these storms? Why did Job had to face all these situations? Why did he lose all his family? Why did he lose all his cattle? Why? I believe if I was like Job, I would have sat down and looked toward heaven and I would have said, God, why is this happening? But he didn't. He never sat down and said, God, why is this happening? He said, naked came I from my mother's womb and naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was a righteous, upright man. Then I said, well, Job, surely there's a reason for your storm. Well, he told me there was a reason in Job 37 and verse 13. In Job 37 and 13, listen to what he said. He said, he, talking about God, he causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. And this morning, we want to look at the reason for the storm. What is the reason for the storm? Well, the Bible just said it. The Bible said that these things could be happening because of we need a correction. We're out of control. Not long ago, a song was written. It said it's like a train going down the wrong track. And people, we've got to look at reality today. We are a nation out of control. I mean, we're a nation today, even though we're a God-blessed nation, We need to be corrected. Hey, it's like a father correcteth his son. A father doesn't correct his son unless he needs it. I don't know about you. My daddy didn't just jerk me up and give me a good whipping just because he wanted to. But boy, when I needed correcting, guess what? My daddy got out the old mining strap. And my daddy taught me a lesson at the end of that mining strap. We had a beautiful peach tree sitting out in the backyard where I live. And that peach tree finally died because my mother broke so many limbs off of it trying to correct me. You see, I need correction. And maybe that's why the Job is having all these storms that he's having in his life. Hey, we need correcting. We're even though we're God's children, sometimes we need a correction. Is God trying to get us back on track? Is God really speaking through all of these storms and all these situations? You say, well, God won't bring destruction. He won't. Well, tell that to the Andalusian world. He rained water upon that country. Only 8 people got saved. The rest of them died and lost their life. God was trying to get their attention, but he couldn't. He gave them 120 years. Noah built the ark for 120 years. And Noah, every day, Noah was out front of the ship or the boat or the ark telling them that God's going to bring destruction. They didn't listen. Why, Noah, you're a crazy man. We don't need a boat. It ain't even raining. We're out of control. God was trying to correct them. God gave them all the adequate time that he could. But we are people that have to be corrected. And God is trying, maybe, to correct us as a God-fearing nation. Notice in Proverbs 3:12 what he said. For whom the Lord loveth, or whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Now, in some of the translations, it will say, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, even as a father and the son whom he delighteth. God sometimes needs to correct us. If we need correcting, it means that we're doing something that we ought not be doing. If a world or a country or a nation needs correcting, it means that that country, that nation, or that people are doing something that ought not be doing. Because God is wanting to correct us. Even as a father correcteth his little children, even though he corrects them because he loves them. My daddy used to take the mining strap, boy, I mean, when he laid into me. He'd say, this hurts me worse than it does you. I always wondered about that. I mean, he's on the other end of the stick. How could he say that? But you know, when my daddy took me out behind the barn and gave me a good correcting and gave me a good talking to, that was the worst thing that could ever happen to me. He'd say to my sister, he'd say to me, I want you to tell your sister you're sorry. That was the hardest thing in the world for me to do, was to say I was sorry. But you see, my daddy only corrected me because he loved me. He didn't want me doing that anymore. He simply wanted me to do things different. He didn't want me pulling my sister's pigtails. He wanted me loving my sister. He didn't want me causing her to cry. He wanted me to love her. And God wants us to love one another. And he corrected them. And in Deuteronomy 8:5, listen to what he said. Thou shalt consider in thine heart that as a man correcteth his son, so the Lord thy God correcteth thee. Hey, we need corrected sometime. I've always said this, when a Christian gets out of sort, God is there to correct them. We need the correcting supervision of God to correct our lives, to get us back on track, to put us back where we ought to be. In Psalms 94:12, he said, blessed is the person whom thou correcteth or chasten. O Lord, teacheth them of thy laws. And we're blessed. God doesn't do that because he hates us. God does that because he loves us. Things happen in our life sometimes that we think is the most terrible thing that could ever happen. I went in a home not long ago, and it was a home of a used-to-be godly person. Well, I'm not going to weigh that issue. Let me back up and retract that issue. These were two people who were very dedicated to God, very dedicated to the church. But then he began to kind of back off a little bit. He wouldn't go to church on a Sunday. You'd miss him this Sunday, and his wife would say he was this and that. And then next Sunday, same thing. His wife kept making excuses for him, and he didn't show up for Bible. I mean, he was just continue lost from service and lost from service. We knew that something was going on, and every time I'd see him, he'd always have some kind of excuse not to go to the house of God. And I knew that he was getting too lapsed in his spirit. I knew that he was losing his dedication, losing his commitment. I mean, it was very obvious. There was too many other things getting in his way. So anyhow, all of a sudden, the phone rings, and his wife on the other end and says, we have terrible news. I went to the home, and I sat down, and I talked to the man, I talked to his wife, and I wanted to tell it like it was, to be honest with you. But I'm not one of those gouge me preachers. I don't like to get a person down and browbeat them and preach to them and go to the hospitals and preach to them and go to the homes and preach to them, you're not doing this and God's doing, you know what I mean? I'm not that kind of a person. But I went there, I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to say it because I knew that it wasn't the proper thing to say. And finally, the lady spoke up, the woman spoke up and said, well, Tommy, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on with him. God's trying to give him a wake-up call. I said, well, praise the Lord. That's what I wanted to say and didn't have enough nerve. But God was giving him a wake-up call. And listen, God will correct you sometime. The Bible said, neglect not to assemble yourself in the house of God, in the manner which some are. Hey, our commitments are not what they ought to be. Our commitments to the house of God are not what they ought to be. Our dedication to God is not what it ought to be. The church doors, when they're open, we ought to try to be there. I know there's reasons we can't. There's times that we can't be in the house of God. But we miss you. We miss you being here with us. We miss you because, you see, it's a commitment that you have made to God. The Bible said He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. But if we haven't committed anything to Him, how can He keep anything for us? He will keep us if we will only commit ourselves to God. But sometimes it's easier to go in another direction. Notice in Proverbs 3:11 what he said. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. And you know, some of us, I mean, God has to stay on us all the time, don't He? I mean, He just got to keep on us all the time. But is there a reason for the storm? Is God really trying to correct us? Is God really trying to say something to us? I know that they played the tape this morning, and I listened to a little bit of it, and I'll tell you, it wasn't a beautiful story of what happened in Tsunami. It wasn't a beautiful story what happened over there. At the meeting the other day, we did find out that our conference, the United Methodist Church, you, the people, have already been able to send $145,000, and there will be more going to that country. And we were real pleased with that. But listen to another thing he said. Or for his land. If there's one thing we need as a nation to know and as a Christian to know, this is God's land. God created it. God made it. The Bible said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We today act as though that this land belongs to us. But this land does not belong to us. Is that the reason that it's such a great issue to get God out of the statement, one nation under God? Because they do not want God to be recognized as the God of this nation. I preached a sermon not long ago, God has never been God in His own world. And when you read the Bible, you're going to find that God has never been able to be God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made man in His likeness and in His image. And God, this world, belongs to Him. That's why they say, we don't want that one nation under God. But I've got news for you, my friend. It will always be one nation, and it will always be under God. Give Him a big hand for that. Because this is God's land. And I've come to the conclusion that God is fully in control. I know there's a lot of storms. I know there's a lot of things that's going on that we do not understand what is going on. But I believe with all my heart that it is working in the plan of God. I don't believe there's ever been anything that has subsided the plan of God. I don't believe there's ever been anything written that will ever be written that has ever subsided the plan of God. God made a plan a long time ago. Jesus purchased that plan at Calvary. And the Holy Spirit is still in control. The Holy Spirit is controlling this world. Why are they trying to take Jesus out of everything? We don't want him in Christmas, but without Christmas or without Jesus there would be no Christmas. We're trying to take the Ten Commandments off the wall. What is it? Because we're trying to say this land is our land, but it's not our land. It belongs to God. And then another one that he says right here, notice in the same verse, he said, and he causes it to come whether for correction or for his land. Now note that, his land, not our land, but his land. If we could ever realize that everything we are and everything we have belongs to God. Job said, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you go, when you die, and trust me this morning, every one of us will die. There will be a time when none of us will die.
Like planting seeds, to watch and wait for spring. When Christ returns with all his power and glory, he'll call for sense to come to life, and dust will say, when dust shall sing on resurrection morning, the saints arise and let their voices ring. Those that remain, they'll be changed in just a moment. We'll hear the shout, the trumpet sound, and dust will sing. Since Jesus died, his death it's lost in victory. If we're in Christ, the grave has lost its sting. You see, Christ conquered death, so he will conduct that great gigantic chorus. And when voice is raised and with a great shout of praise, then my friend dust, it will sing. When dust will sing on resurrection morning, the saints arise and let their voices ring. Those that remain, they will be changed in just a moment. We'll hear a shout and the trumpet sound, and dust will sing.
Well, neighbor, I have enjoyed being with you this morning. I've done this broadcast. I hope that you've enjoyed it. It was an old tape that we played a long, long time ago from up in at the Painter's Chapel when we was pastoring there. And I'd love to be pastoring again, but my eye, I've got macular in my eye, and I can't see. And someone said, well, you can still preach from memories. I've already said, well, I told them, I said, well, it's going to. But anyhow, I appreciate you. I appreciate this broadcast. I'm going to remain on this radio station as long as God gives me the message to preach. And you support me, I'm going to stay right on here. I'm just that stubborn. I've been on here for many years. I got a birthday coming up the 17th of next month. I will be 87 years old, but I'm feeling good in my spirit. I'm feeling good in my body. I don't have any pains. I could have a pain every now and then, but it doesn't remain in the same spot. That's one thing. Doctor told me a long time ago, he said, well, if a pain stays in one spot, you got problems. Well, it moves around, but anyhow, God has really blessed me, and God is blessing this radio ministry. Has been blessing it since 85. You think about that. That's been a long time. But with your help and your support, we will continue on. So I'm praying for you. Will you continue to pray for me? Make your mind up right now. I'm going to support that preacher and send him something to help him out. Until next Sunday, God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer. you can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Matters Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Matters Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.
He gave me water I had never dreamed of. But for this water,